been a great day in church already. I'm excited about this service as well. Come on. Thank you, Pastor Connor. That was awesome. Well, church, before I get into the sermon today, I got a couple of things I got to share with you, okay? So this week I found myself stuck between a rock and a hard place, and I was hoping that either the rock or the hard place would move, and neither of them did. And so so now I've got to share something with you that's a little bit out of order of what I when I would usually share it with you, okay? It's all good news, but I had a plan, and then my hand has been forced a little bit. So I've got an update regarding our bold building campaign. It's all good news. And so what's happening is there's a timing of a couple of deals that is like a few days off. And so I've sort of been forced to make an announcement today that I would have liked to have made like next week, or two announcements today, but instead I'm going to do like one now and one next week and all the week after. So anyway, I've got good news. The good news is that we have, actually, can I pause? If you're new and you're wondering what's he talking about, well, there's not a lot of room for growth here, and so we're buying a new building so that we can continue to grow, continue to win the lost, and continue to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, and keep seeing God transform lives in us, through us. And so for that, we're going to need a new space. And the good news is that we have found a buyer for this building right here in Clive. So that's good news. And because we said that we were listing it early, and the idea was that we wouldn't entertain any offers that wouldn't lease it back to us for about 15 months afterwards. And so we have a buyer. They are going to lease it back to us for 15 months. So by the time it closes and all of that, it should be at least September or October next year before we have to vacate. And so that's fantastic. That's really good news. The great news is that it is a church that's buying our building. So this place that we have prayed in, prayed over, ministered in, served God in, will stay a church. In fact, I can't speak for the real estate agent. Don't want them to get sued or anything like that, but happy for you to sue me. I did tell our agent, I said, because there's like a mosque and a Hindu temple, different things that looked at it, that rang up about it. And I said to them, I said, you know what? I'm just not comfortable letting anyone turn the house of God into a house of iniquity. And so we will not sell to any other faith at all. And I said, and so, but thankfully that didn't end up happening, and a church put an offer on, and we're looking after them, they're looking after us, and it's gonna be great. Now, I wanted to announce that at the same time as announcing, what we're doing for our building. But here's the thing, the church that's buying it is actually having a business meeting today after church to share that exciting news with their people. And so I didn't want you to hear that second hand, third hand, fourth hand, or on social media. I wanted you to hear it from the horse's mouth. Yes, we do have a buyer, but I needed you to know that we are not being vacated. We're not going to become a portable church. And that it's a house of God that will be purchasing it. Now that makes the second question pop up in all of our hearts, right? And what about me? It isn't fair, I've had enough, now I want my share. Can't you see that no one came here for a concert? So, but you know, it does make you go, what about us? You know, what about our church? What's happening there? And where will we be moving to? And we want you to know that we have found a building. We have been negotiating for a couple of months, but the final details aren't in ink just yet. And so I don't want to make a 100% commitment to our church when that's not the case. So for that reason, we're not quite able to share it with you. Honestly, I actually thought that on Friday we would be good to go, but we're just not quite there. And so wisdom says, bear with us for another week, maybe 2 weeks, and we will share some super exciting news with you about where we will be going. We found a building that is literally every single thing we want. If you remember, there were certain things we wanted to be in this area, we wanted to be this close to an interstate, we want this, and it is everything. Grow for the future, all the things that we asked for, because when God speaks, if God says, you go do that, funny, and then he says, and I'll do this, funny how when you go do that, God does do this, right? And so he's true to his word, and so it's everything we've wanted. But I do want you to know this, and this is a really important detail, that that we are not signing the agreement to sell this place until we have the agreement to offer the other place in our hand and done as well, okay? We will not become a portable church. Been there, done that. Praise God for all the other portable churches, but it's not in our future, okay? And so... All right. So anyway, that's good news, isn't it? And so, but very, 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 very soon, we'll be able to share some more news with you. Okay. So what else do I have in here? Nope, that's it. It is very hard for me to not overshare. Like it's like it's a real issue for me. I want to overshare with you, but anyway, I need to do the right thing. We'll let the ink dry, and then we'll be announcing some cool stuff soon. So could be next week. We won't tell you when. You just have to be in church, all right? Because that's what Christians do. They go to church, all right? So who's ready for the Word of God? All right. I'm going to preach on the Holy Ghost today. So who's ready for a holy roast today? Come on now. So we're going to preach on the Holy Ghost, and you know, we are a Pentecostal church, and we believe in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. We're a truth preaching church, and anyway, so it's good to see. I don't know where my brain just died halfway through that sentence. So you ever just get halfway through a sentence and then can't find your way out the other side? Anybody else? Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. But last week I didn't get to preach. I was actually preaching for my friend Ryan Visconti in Arizona, a church called Generation Church. And I tell you, that church is on fire. It is growing. They just built a new building as well and have doubled in size since then. And but here's the deal. The Pentecostal churches are the ones holding the line in America. They're the ones that are boldly stepping up and preaching the truth no matter what. And churches that rely on the Holy Ghost, that are anchored in the Word of God, and that are bold enough to talk about it, those churches are growing all over America. And so it was a privilege to preach there last weekend. I know Troy Maxwell did a great job here. Do you love having Troy Maxwell? What a champion. Great friend of our church. Now I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 35. And I did actually preach from this same passage a few weeks ago. And I didn't at Christmas though. And I feel like since I didn't at Christmas, it takes like two or three times to make up for that, you know, during the year. So we're going to do that today. So, all right, verse 30, it says in Luke chapter 1, and the angel of the Lord said to her, to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, whom you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child will be born, and the child will be called Holy, the Son of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for every person in this service. I pray that every person here in Clive, in Owen, in Audubon, online, Lord, that every person that hears this word would be blessed by this word, Lord God, that they would be edified and equipped, I pray. I pray that people would leave today with more faith, believing that you really are able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all that we could ask for, think of, or even imagine. Lord God, that we would leave here trusting you more than we ever have before, because we sat under the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, as you may have gathered already, I'm quite hyperactive this morning. I have preached once already. I've been to two different meetings before that, and I'm a little hyperactive, a little scatterbrained. So if I accidentally go to the end of the message and then have to rewind and come back, just bear with me, all right? But we're going to have a good time in church. But first, I want to share some really bad news with you, okay? I shared some good news. Now I want to share some bad news, and we'll get back to the good news before we close. But I've got some bad news. It's not bad news that that you don't know, okay? So that's all right. And in fact, if the bad news I'm about to share is new news to you, you've been living under a rock, or you're just like, you're dead. You're a walking corpse or something, all right? And so what I'm going to share with you is pretty common knowledge. But the bad news is that culturally, America is not the America that you grew up in anymore. It's not the same. It's changed. It's not even the America that I moved to 12 years ago. In fact, this week when I flew in from Arizona, I flew in on the same plane on the same day that we landed in Des Moines with my family 12 years ago. And the America that we're in right now, it's not even the same America that I flew into 12 years ago. And that's okay, because God didn't call me to a culture, but to a people and a place, right? And so I was like, all right, Lord, it's not as easy, or it doesn't seem as nice as it did then, but we're here for a long time, not just a good time, amen? And so it's not the same though. It feels like there's more division than ever before. Honestly, as I walk around and I just go to a restroom at a restaurant or look at a menu somewhere, I feel like the country is run, the people in charge is actually like the Rainbow Mafia or the Alphabet people. Anyone else feel like that? Like everywhere you go, it's like, wait, who's in charge here? You know, like why is everything all about the Rainbow Mafia, you know? And it feels like race is more important than character, again, that we've rolled back that way. It feels like gender indoctrination is more important to our teachers' unions than actually educating kids is. Anyone feel like that? It feels like our governments and politicians care more about actually, like that their focus is to intentionally destroy the family unit as opposed to strengthening the family, which strengthens communities and strengthens countries, right? And feels like children are just fodder in a war against godliness rather than our children being the ones that we're fighting for. It feels like for the first time in America that the America that we're going to hand to the next generation is just significantly worse than the one we received. Does anyone feel that, right? And that sucks. It sucks. There are more people struggling with homosexuality than ever before. This generation is so confused and detached from any anchors in their lives and so devoid of the truth that an ever-increasing number of them don't even know what gender they are anymore. The nation's divided over whether or not it's okay to kill a baby boy or a baby girl in their mother's womb. And recent polls suggest that only 4% of Americans have a biblical worldview. That means that there's only about 4% of the people you run into at lunch or on your travels, only about 4% of them actually believe that their opinions, that their belief systems, that the way they handle situations in the world should actually be informed by the Word of God. And that's a new and broken situation for America to be in. Homelessness is increasing. Sorry, unhousedness isn't, got to try to use the language, you know. Language is changing, not because it naturally changed, but because the mafia told us to change it. Drug use is increasing. Suicide is increasing. Anxiety and depression are increasing. Even here in Iowa, in the heartland of America, we're in the middle of the country, but when it comes to those statistics, we're also in the middle of them. We're not even the best. We're not up near the top, you know. Not a lot of people have a biblical worldview. Our church attendance in Iowa is about average for the country, and it's not good news. It's because when you take God out of your life, when you take God out of your schools or out of your government, people are going to find a new religion to live by, because they are going to have a God. They will have a God. They will find a way, a code, an ethics, or a system to live by. And they've got these new codes, these new ethics, these new lenses that they look at the world through. And for a large portion of the United States, that new code is the, as we call it, the code of woke. Yeah. The new code, really what woke is there's no code other than, there's no code, there's no plan other than to attack the plans of God. To manipulate the Word of God, to intimidate the people of God, to destroy the image bearers of God. It's the code that steals, it's a code that kills, it's a code that destroys. This new woke religion that the Western world teaches you that you can be whatever you want, you can do whatever you want, you can have whatever you want, even if it's not yours, you can behave however you want, and it's wreaked havoc and destruction on the people and the systems and the communities and the families of the United States. Even though we know that trans kids are significantly more likely to kill themselves more likely to kill themselves than kids who do not struggle with this biological uncertainty or whatever it is, and kids that live in biological clarity do better in every area of their lives. If the trans kids do survive, almost none of them will ever be able to reproduce and have kids. Transgenderism puts an end on the family line of Imago Dei. There's been a kid born here, and all the way through the generations, there's been a reproduction of the Imago Dei, the image of God, but transgenderism just ends that, and there's no more after that. Homosexuals are more than twice as likely to suffer from depression and anxiety leading to suicide. The National Institute of Health even admits on their website, Reddit yesterday, that women who have had an abortion are significantly more likely to suffer mental health issues than women who have not had an abortion. We all know people who have regret over past choices, suffering the pain of them. And many of us had regret over past choices and suffered pain and, you know, wish we had done things differently. But praise God, we've had healing since then. But we all know people who are still struggling. We're all aware of people or family or friends or someone that's dealing with the fallout of the destruction of the family unit, of homosexuality, of marriage, of gender, all this gear. Like if our kids are in public school, they most likely see the pain and suffering that kids go through as a result of this gender indoctrination. And we all know someone struggling with alcoholism, addicted to drugs, or been through a divorce, in the middle of a divorce, or about to get divorced. We all know people suffering from abuse or abusing, and it feels jacked up. Anybody else? Told you it's bad news. Now, if any of that was new news to you, you've been living under a rock. But there is good news. Church, there is good news. Okay? The good news is that God put us here. That's the accurate understanding of what's going on, but God put us here. As he looked through the times of history, and as he looked through the lens of the future, in his all-knowing knowledge, in his power, he determined that in spite of all of that, that the right time and the right place to put you and me here was right now. Praise God. Through all of that, knowing all of that, God looked at it all and he thought, you know who can do this? You know who can make a difference here? You and me. Us and eternity, amen. He put us in Iowa, in the United States, knowing everything that's going on and everything that would go on. He knew that right now is the best time and the best place that we could possibly live. Oh, you may look at the glory days and wish you lived back then or over here or in that time frame. No. That wouldn't be the best life that you can live. The best life that you can live is the life that God put you in right now. Knowing all about you and knowing all about the world, God determined that this is the right time and the right place for you to be. So to borrow a line from Mordecai, we are here for such a time as this. Amen. We are here for such a time as this. And we love that verse. We've heard that verse. Have you heard that verse? Yeah? Like, we love that verse. It's a great verse. It's a nice verse. Feels lovely. It's reassuring, isn't it? It assures me that God has a plan. But it's important we don't forget the line that came before it. It says, "For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish." And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What kind of church would we be if, knowing all of that, we said nothing? What kind of believers would we be if, knowing all that pain and all that destruction and knowing that we have the solution, that we just stayed silent? What kind of church would we be if we stayed silent while kids are slaughtered and other kids are mutilated? What kind of believers could we claim to be if we knew that we had the answers to solve the world's present problems and the present pain and suffering that they're in, but instead we didn't say a thing about it? If we don't speak to these pains, to these struggles, to these hurts, if we don't make the best of the time and the place that God put us in, God will raise up somebody else. Oh, it's important that we know we are replaceable. Come on, God has a plan. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for our church, but our church is not irreplaceable. And you are not irreplaceable, and I am not irreplaceable. God will raise somebody up, amen. God's will be done. But if we don't, we ourselves may not be saved from the pain and suffering. Oh, but I want to be a quiet church, Pastor Jesse. God will send somebody else. Oh, and I want to rock the boat, Pastor Jesse. God will send somebody else. Oh, I miss 2005 when churches were quiet, meek, and mild, and they didn't talk about all the hard stuff. Listen, it's never going to be 2005 again. God did not call you for such a time as that, but such a time as this. Can I get an amen? Oh, I miss the days we didn't have to talk about this. It wasn't such a problem. Our culture wasn't like, that's not where God put you. God put you here. God put you now. It wasn't just here. It wasn't just now. It was here and it was now. Can I get an amen? Amen. I know of a minister who would not speak against homosexuality, didn't want to rock the boat, didn't want to go against the grains of society or anything like that, never would say anything against these important issues, just avoided them altogether. Then one day one of his children comes home to announce to their parents that their spouse has left them for a homosexual relationship. And it tore the family apart, because what you tolerate, you invite into your life. What you tolerate, you invite into your life. What you won't fight against, it's still spiritual whether you want to fight it or not. Whether you want to jump in the fight or not, the devil hates you and will bring the fight to you. The question is, will you fight against it? Will you speak again? Will you tell the truth? Will you preach the truth? Will you honor the word of the God? The word of the God? The word of the Lord? Come on now. He was unwilling to go against the grains of society, so God raised up others, but he and his family weren't saved from the pain. I don't want to be the church that knows the answer and stays quiet. I don't want to live a life of comfort and convenience while half of Iowa goes to hell. Or more than half of Iowa probably. I don't want to sit here and be like, well, if I just stay quiet, maybe the church will just sort of, you know, coexist with the world and it'll be all right. And so long as it doesn't get too small, I can still get paid and retire one day. You know, No. Let's risk it all. Amen. We have the medicine. We have the medicine. I don't know any parents that just see a healthy kid and they're like, take this medicine because I hate your guts. No, you're sick, here's medicine, this will help. Because we love our kids, amen. And if we really love the people in our lives and the people in our, if we love Iowa, then we're going to give them the medicine, amen. We're never gonna stop sharing the medicine. Can I tell you, I said this in DNA before church, that we're never going to stop sharing the medicine at Eternity Church. If you think to yourself, well, I don't want to sow into a church, I don't want to invest my family's time, talents, resources, hearts, effort, serving into a church, I'm not sure if one day it's going to go woke or whatever, can I tell you, we'd rather go broke than to go woke. We're not going to do it. We will share the medicine forever because we love our state, we love our community, and we want them to come to heaven with you and with me, amen? And if the medicine, if the world gets so far gone that one day in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, if one day the truth of the gospel becomes so distasteful to the world that it starts to look like it's gonna make the church burn down, that it looks like the fire's getting a bit hot, and if we keep doing that, the church will burn down to the ground. I can tell you this, if preaching the truth gets so distasteful to this world that it burns the church down, grab your marshmallows, because we're going to make s'mores. We're here to the end. It ain't going to stop. I don't know if you know this, but our bylaws state, and it's unchangeable, we put it in the bylaws. They cannot be changed. It has to stay in there. That if this church ever stops affirming the biblical view of marriage, if this church ever deviates from the biblical view of marriage, that this church has to sell all its assets and give it to a church that holds a biblical view of marriage. Just want to make sure the next generation knows what's at stake. See, I believe that God has called Eternity Church for such a time as this, to preach the truth, to be a vessel of God's grace and mercy. Because I've still got faith in our God who heals, in our God who restores, who justifies, who sanctifies, amen? I believe that the woman who had an abortion will find freedom from the shame that they've held and buried so deep in their hearts, that they can be free. I believe that families will be strengthened. I believe that crime can go down. I actually believe that Iowa's and even the USA's best days are still in front of them. I believe that by faith, amen? I believe that that confused kids can find truth and find clarity. I believe that our church will be filled with people who used to be, like the Apostle Paul. These will not inherit the kingdom. These will not go to heaven. These will not go to heaven. These will not go to heaven. And these will not go to heaven. And these will not go to heaven. But that's not who you are. That's who you used to be. Amen. Oh, I believe our church will be filled with people who used to be. People who used to be homosexuals. People who used to be racist. People who used to identify as trans. People who used to be addicted to drugs. Used to be alcoholics. Used to be abusive. Used to be victims. Used to be poor. Used to be broken. Used to be weak. Used to be timid. Used to be ashamed of the gospel. Hallelujah. Our church will be the church of used to be's. In fact, I hope that we're a church of people who still are as well. In fact, that's how they become a used to be. They come in the room, they get convicted by the power of the Holy Ghost, and suddenly they used to be. Hallelujah. I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago. Sorry, I came here today to offend you. I hope someone gets offended, if not for the whole thing, at least for a second. I was talking to someone the other week. They were asking me about racist people. And I said, oh, I hope that there's more racist people in Eternity Church than any other church. So that they can used to be racist. Yeah. Amen. I hope that there are more abusive people in our church than any other church in Iowa. So they can used to be abusive. I hope there's more hookers in Eternity Church than any other church, so they can used to be hookers. Can I get an amen? I hope we got more folks here who are visiting strip clubs in our church than any other church, so they can used to visit strip clubs. I hope we got more liars right now in Eternity Church, so they can used to be a liar. Oh, come on. I hope your wallet isn't safe at Eternity Church. I hope that if you forgot to lock your car in our parking lot, that you got robbed in church. Because I hope there's more thieves in our church than any other church, so they can used to be a thief. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Praise God, our church of used to be's in Jesus' name. Used to be's. How? How, you may ask? How's this going to happen? How are we going to get all these used to be's? Well, Mary asked the Lord, how? And the angel answered her, the Holy Ghost. How? The Holy Ghost. How will this be? It's impossible. I'm not married. I'm a virgin. And I'm not pregnant. And the angel said, the Holy Ghost. How will these seemingly impossible things happen in our church? The Holy Ghost. How will someone go from racist to used to be? The Holy Ghost. How will the homosexual be delivered? How? The Holy Ghost. The woman carrying shame and pain from an abortion will be set free. How? The Holy Ghost. the kid who's been indoctrinated and abused by a society that hates God will be delivered. And they will finally come to peace with their God-given gender. How? The Holy Ghost. It seems impossible, but the Holy Ghost. How will we see alcoholics living in sobriety? The Holy Ghost. How will we see the man addicted to painkillers finally find freedom? The Holy Ghost. How will the racist heart changed? The Holy Ghost. How will your family get through what you're trying to get through? Come on. The Holy Ghost. Church, I believe that Iowa and America is going to see a revival. I believe it. I believe it. I'm praying for it. I believe it. I'm asking God. I'm praying and I'm praying. I'm on my knees and I'm praying and I'm praying. It may seem impossible because revival's over there and we're walking this way, but the Holy Ghost. It seems like we're moving further and further away. So how will America see a revival? Well, by electing Donald J. Trump, of course. No, I'm kidding. The Holy Ghost. Come on, the Holy Ghost. Come on, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on now. Oh, I tricked a couple of y'all, but it ain't Donald J. Trump. It ain't Joseph Biden. It's the Holy Ghost. Yes, be politically engaged. Show up, speak up, vote up. But our faith is in the Lord. And we know. Come on, we know that our rights don't come from government, but from God. Shock, horror, MSNBC blown away by that little statement. They're a bit offended by the Constitution, apparently. But listen, government is not the hope of the world. The God who created government is the hope of the world. In November, we're not electing or voting for who we want to be our God. Who's going to be our God after the election? That job is taken, my friend. That job is not on the ballot. It's not by the power of man or a president that America will be saved, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. In November, we're not voting for a new God. We're voting for a new president. And I pray 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 that we get a new president, one that's alive. But listen up. But by the power of the Holy Ghost is how we're going to see revival. Even if we have to have 4 more years of Weekend at Bernie's, we're still got the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're going to be all right. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I believe we can see revival. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to heal our land. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to change hearts. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to comfort us when we cry, counsel us in need, give us wisdom. Yes, and I know that the woke mob are full of rage and hate. Yes, the social media companies are batting for the other team. Yes, Target and Starbucks have been pushing a woke agenda on our families and kids. Yes, the devil is real. Yes, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he shall devour. Yes, he has an agenda and a plan. But we have something that even Abraham didn't have. We have something that even Esther didn't have. We have something that even Joseph in captivity didn't have. We have been filled with the Holy Ghost and power. We have the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, amen? Come on. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. By His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth and America too. You will receive power. Power. Who remember that old song? Power, power, wonder working power in the blood. Anyone remember that one? Sorry, I sung it wrong. Power, power, wonder working power in the blood. That's how you sung it, wasn't it? Yeah, come on. It's like, what's power? That word power. Every you ever been to a Pentecostal church, you have heard a sermon on dunamis. Hands up if you've been to a Pentecostal church and heard a sermon on dunamis. Dynamite power. You've heard that before. Us Penties, we love that one. We love it. The word is dunamis. Dunamis, okay? Softy. Dunamis. And it is, and every Pentecostal preacher will tell you that it means dynamite, and it doesn't. Sorry. But it's such a powerful word that they chose to use the same word as the root word for dynamite. So it is powerful, but it doesn't mean dynamite. Dynamite just comes from that. Do you understand what I'm saying? What it does mean is potential for functioning in some way, some power, some might, some strength, some force or capability that you wouldn't have without it. So it's more than dynamite, but it is power. It means the ability to function in power, might, strength, force, capabilities. So how will I be able to function in a crazy world? The Holy Ghost. Yes. How will I have the strength to get through this? The Holy Ghost. Where will your strength come from? The Holy Ghost. How can I force the enemy to stay away from my family? You can't touch my family. You be gone in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if I'm able, if I'm strong enough, if I have the skills or the capability to be effective in such a time as this. But I have the Holy Ghost. You will be capable. So how? The Holy Ghost. How? The Holy Ghost. That's how. The Holy Ghost. Have your kids walked away from the Lord? The Holy Ghost. Has your marriage sucked forever? Saw some husbands whisper in their wives' ears just then, like, yeah. Well, I pray that the Holy Ghost will help you survive your car ride home after that little moment. Because you're going to die. But we serve a resurrection God. Did God speak to you? Tell you something? Not just speak to you. Some people, like, God speaks to them and, like, it's just pizza, all right? And then some people tell me God spoke to them, but then it's something different, you know, like 3 months later. And I'm like, man, your God is so schizophrenic. I couldn't follow that. Like, you know, God said, go, left, right, no. And I'm like, okay. But here's the thing. Sometimes God does speak. Like when God spoke to us in our hearts to come here, everything lined up and it was impossible to deny. But then it got hard. How will I get through that hard to become what you said we would do and be and see? The Holy Ghost. Have you been a wimp, too scared to say what needs to be said, to do what needs to be done, to go where you need to go? The Holy Ghost. In fact, I hope that our church is full of wimps, timid, fear-filled Christians, so that that can be who they used to be, amen, by the power of the Holy Ghost. So yes, we're in an impossible season, but the Holy Ghost. Can the band come back up? I'm going to try and land this plane. The band was amazed in the first service that I even got to landing the plane this fast. And I said, that's because the Holy Ghost. But just so you know, next week I'm going to go over 2 or 3 minutes because the Holy Ghost. I just want to set that up so there's no expectations next week, you know. But can I tell you, you cannot do all that God has called you to do without the Holy Ghost. Can't do it. Can't do it. There are ministers that I've respected all over this country that used to sort of be more cessationist. That just means they believe that the gifts of the Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives and through our lives sort of ceased when the apostles died, which is a ludicrous statement to make. Because Scripture just says, you know, this and names all these gifts of the Spirit and goes, these will cease, but love lasts forever. And it's like, well, so then these cessationists, they just randomly assigned a date to these shall cease. And I was like, well, that's a random date to assign. And I'm like, since it doesn't say anything about when, I'm just going to keep rolling the way it told me to roll. And I'm going to assume that the logical time for prophecy and words of knowledge and gifts of healing and things like that to cease will be when Jesus returns and we're all in heaven and we don't need any of that anymore. But love will last forever. It's just a logical explanation. But anyway, but I have friends or people I've looked up to for a long time that have traditionally been cessationists that I've seen over the years suddenly start realizing people need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Guys like John Piper, Mark Driscoll, all these sorts of guys, and they're all like, yeah, we need the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, this has been an amazing thing to watch. Because people know that we can't do this without the Holy Ghost. Mary, the mother of Jesus, could not do what God called her to do without the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. America needs you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Iowa needs you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Scripture says, let yourselves be filled with the Spirit continually. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. To be filled continually. I'm going to pray for people today. I don't do this all the time. Maybe once a year will I do a sermon on the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say, if you've never ever been filled with the Spirit, you've never asked the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, come down to my left, okay? But more than likely for everybody, you're like, yes, I've been there, but I'm feeling low. And I hate treating the Holy Spirit like he's gas in a tank that runs out, but Scripture does talk about needing to be filled continually and just staying in the Spirit. And so I think what I want to do today is say, some of you need a fresh touch from God, a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit today, or a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, just to fill your tank, so to speak. And I hate that terminology, but I can't think of a better way to say it. And so if that's you, I'm going to invite you in a moment to come down the front and get prayer. And I'm going to pray for everybody at once. And then the team's going to come and pray for people as well. And then after that, the band's going to sing. And officially, church will be closed in like 6 minutes. So we're going to be on time again because, you know, the Holy Ghost and working miracles today. But who needs to come down the front? Let me think about that. How can I explain this for you? Now, our church is morally conservative because we're biblical, Bible-based Christians. So what that does naturally, and I'm not saying everybody here is a Democrat. I'm not saying that everybody here is a Republican, but it does naturally attract more conservative-minded people because they want conservative morals, values, biblical values taught, right? And so I hope there's Democrats here. In fact, I hope our church is full of... Bad joke. Anyway. So that's it. They used to be a Democrat. Anyway. It's a terrible joke. I'm sorry. But here is what I'm saying. If you're like, do I need a fresh touch? Here's how you know. If you think that Joe Biden in the White House for 4 more years means we're doomed, you need a fresh touch from heaven. Because you think we're voting for God instead of a president who is under God. Whether he submits to God or not, but God is above it all. There's a king above the countries. There's a king above the presidents. We're living for the king, amen. And if you think that 4 more years of Joe Biden... And I use this example because, again, naturally we would attract mostly people from that side that don't want him anymore. But sometimes we can get a little distracted by the politics of the situation and forget about the kingdom that we're in. And so if you think that we're doomed, if the conservatives don't win this election, you need a fresh touch from heaven because your eyes are focused somewhere else. And that's okay because it happens to me sometimes. Well, not that I'm the barometer of what's okay or not, but I mean, it happens to all of us and we just have to sort of reset a bit and go, all right, like that old hymn, the things of earth will grow strangely dim as I look on him.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, please check out our other episodes. If you would like to connect with Eternity Church, be sure to go to myeternity.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. We'll see you next week. Love you heaps.